All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Nick Cousins, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
We've been on a little bit of a vacation, Riggs.
Wait, you've been on vacation.
Whoa. Time out. I said we have. I really haven't. I've actually worked. You've been in Jamaica here and there. I don't know.
You're right.
I know.
It's summertime.
I'm definitely right. But not a whole lot going on, so we decided to take a couple weeks off and
pump the brakes a little.
Yeah, recharge, as you would like to say.
Yeah, get ready for the season.
To the ground of the earth like we used to on Sundays back in the day.
We not quite that
low. Tell that story yet, but I'll never forget the ice cream truck.
Oh, yeah. How could you?
Oh.
Those rims?
We used to, Sundays was our recharge day, so we'd have a couple of mushrooms from the earth.
Of course.
You know, and Riles always told me, Debo, you've probably been there, you know, recharge the battery on Sunday. So Monday we wake up, we'll feel good. All right, let's do it. We're doing it. So we do it. Those things start ringing into my mind a little bit. I'll never forget. So I'm like getting antsy, get up, walk around. You're doing push-ups, you know, getting down on the ground. You got to get one with the earth.
Well, you got to ground out.
You got to ground it out.
You got it.
But the funniest is, I hear this music, and remember, I go to the door, and I'm like, whoa, and he's like, just like this, just starts dying laughing, crying, and I'm like, you guys, and our friend Jen was there, and I'm like, you guys got to see this ice cream truck, this is the sickest thing I've ever seen. This guy's got tears rolling down his face, crying, laughing. I'm like, I'm not kidding. I'm like, come here. And this thing was pimped out, like pimped. He gets to the door, sees it. You fall over. Oh, my God. Didn't believe me.
Oh.
You didn't know it was that.
I've never seen a pimped out ice cream truck.
Who did the Pimp My Rides? Was it Exhibit?
Exhibit. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Dude, this thing had to have been down there.
Had to have been.
It was the coolest ice cream truck. They had to be selling drugs.
Oh, it had to have been. Yeah, a little ice cream.
It wasn't just ice cream.
A little drugs.
It had to be something. Some Nike shoes.
Oh,
man. A lot of things going on. But,
the 24-inch rims, yeah, chromed out.
It's like, it was so sick. But anyway, I remember laughing. We were laughing so hard. I thought I was imagining it. Like,
no, it was real.
It was real.
That thing exists.
It was a real deal. But yeah, man. Not a whole lot going on in the hockey world. No. Not really.
No.
I mean, well,
couple signings.
Couple little things. What do you got?
Well, a little big ticket signing by your boy, Austin Matthews.
Ooh, not bad. Would you say no to 14.3 shoots a year?
Probably not.
I don't think I would either.
No.
I mean, luckily we were making 15 here, but yeah. No, I meant Mill. He's making 15. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a team that finally got out of the first round. It's not all on Austin, but he is, I mean, he's obviously an unreal player, scores a lot of goals.
Yep.
But you want to score those goals when they count in the postseason. Hopefully, you know, it's not just him, but, man, what a deal. Wow.
Yeah.
14.3.
Yeah, not bad.
It's not bad for 4 years. So if he's there for four more years, does he – if they win, you're a Canadian, you know, you guys want to win. You guys want a Canadian team to win the Cup. But if he doesn't win or if he does win, does he go and sign at home? In Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. Well,
or if they're even there.
Yeah, right.
Oh, they don't have a new arena built? I thought they just played Calgary. Calgary's almost 3 months. Done. They're almost done. But it's just,
they probably won't be in the league by then, I would imagine.
They probably won't. But
I think he signs with the Flyers.
Austin?
Imagine that.
Ballers throwing that out there. Whew.
Danny Briere was his favorite player growing up.
That is a great point, actually. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, he played in AZ.
Yep, he did. That's right.
That's a good point.
Little fella started. Man.
Well, 4 years, we'll just hang on with Mitch. He's coming out of KHL.
Maybe he'll do it that last year because, you know, he's got a year left. Yeah, maybe they do that.
Maybe just pull a blockbuster trade.
Do you think Danny B's going to have 14.3 sitting there for one guy?
He's going to start moving some assets around.
Well, they should have started that last year for Johnny Hockey.
Start right now. Start moving some assets, preparing for the final year of that four-year deal.
4 years.
Yeah.
In 4 years, this is why we're making this move. Don't worry about it. I got it. But in a little bit of Flyer news, Ivan Fedotov is back. I don't know if it's trouble. I don't know what it is. But the IIHF suspended him, saying that he has a legit Flyers contract, which I thought, we knew he did.
Yeah. What was the confusion on that?
But then, you know, he was playing in the California Penal League.
So now he's sussy
until
January 1 or what?
I don't know. That's what they're saying, but they're appealing it. His team in Russia, the KHL, they're appealing it, but I don't know what's
going on. Last couple of years for this guy, just a rodeo.
Catch a break, boys.
Man.
I don't know.
Just going to make him stronger, you know, a little adversity.
Yeah. I guess.
Go serve in the military, a little suspension. Probably, I guess, a couple suspensions in there.
Yeah.
Tough.
I don't know what they're doing.
He'll be resilient when he comes back.
You think he'll be resilient? What are you going to do there in the middle of the winter if he can't even play? He can't play preseason.
Yeah. But then I guess just practice, right? Just get some reps in. Get a good goalie coach.
Lots of reps for that long.
Yeah, it's tough. That's got to be tough on the psyche there a little bit.
Yeah. It's a long time. Maybe the appeal works.
Yeah, I hope so.
Play, you know. Our boy Michkov, as you like to call him.
Mitchy Mitch
had a good preseason. Although Baller said he did get benched last game. Do you know why, Baller? No.
He's dogging on the back check, Nast.
Does he have back check in his game? I'm not sure. Does he have back check in his game?
I think a little bit. 100 foot.
You do.
Yeah. That was about all you could do is hustle back with the head. Oh, yeah. Mentally, I do.
Some sad news. Bad. I don't know if it's sad, but kind of sad for him. Jonas Donskoy had to retire with concussion issues. So that sucks, man. I wish him the best. You know, it happens a lot.
Hopefully he's getting some good care, because if not, we can direct him to some people that know what the hell's up.
Yeah, you for sure can do that. I'm sure he's probably been made aware of that.
I would hope so.
So Natty Ice, our men's league team, we've joined the new league, the Ultimate Adult Hockey League.
It's pretty intense.
You were supposed to play in the All-Star game.
Yeah, well.
Sorry, Vainsy. The guy had life came up like this guy.
Life came up, yeah, a little curveball.
His daughter's running a show, which they run Elvis too. That's for sure. I can't control them. They're out of control. That's what
they are.
Dad, they're out of control. In a good way.
Yeah.
They're wild. They're, you know, they're every wild. Time they come here, boys, I give his girls like some sugar because he can't stand that. And they're bouncing.
Well, that's why they're out of control, because they don't, they're not used to that.
Most kids get
that brain spike
cupcake here and there. Yeah. You know?
Well, yeah, here and there. Right? Not for Brecky.
Not
for
three.
There's a limit. There's a limit.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to for the men's league start up.
What do they got, like real time updates?
They do. They actually do. Like, I know my name is not going to be in any kind of real time updates, but I think it's cool. Like, they actually do a little pod as well. They have enough. They've had a lot of teams now. There's like four or five different divisions, and they're actually using Hollydale as well for the ice because they have so many teams now. Huh. They've actually done a really good
job. So the Hollydale League completely crumbled, or what?
No, they still have something, but like, as you know, like the A League, there's no teams left.
Right.
And I saw there was a couple men's league games going on last night when we finished up the Rebels practice. We had a late practice yesterday. We started training camp last week.
That's right.
Boys were two-a-days, you know, there's 35 guys, so there's two groups, two ice sessions in the morning, two in the afternoon. It was a long week.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was a long week. But it's been fun. You know, some new faces. We'll see who got to make some cuts here. You got about 8 cuts they have to make. So Justin Hale has his hands full for the Rebels.
For the Rebs.
Yeah.
Well, it's an exciting time. Huh. Hockey season's back.
It's right here. I'm not going to lie to you, and I'll tell Justin and Maddie Gaudreau this. I would have liked to have seen us start in another week like everyone else instead of this week, but we do have 2 scrimmage games this week. So,
all right.
Or 3, actually. There's 3 preseason games this week.
So it's on.
And Elvis has his first preseason
game. Oh, man. Look out.
Philadelphia Hockey Club. PHC, the 2014s are coming. They're coming. They're ready. Franny, Paint Zoo. He's finishing up Elvie's mask.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see that.
PHC mask, yep. And hopefully Carter will be donning that mask finally.
You got to get it rocking preseason.
Wicked Witch is gone.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about that shit anymore. Holy cow.
No kidding.
Just kidding. Maybe we even do a different one. But that one's new sick. One? Yeah, why not? You got the cake. Just fucking throw her out there. Let's just make some new stuff.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, I think it's about that time.
It is that time. Episode 125.
With the former number 25.
That's right. A good friend, Nick Cousins. Cuz, what a beauty.
He's a beauty. He's an absolutely beautiful human. Made me laugh a lot. Still does.
Oh, yeah.
Texted with him, but a great guy. Good hockey player.
No doubt. Let's go.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I am Derek Suttlemeyer. This week, Riggs. We have a good friend on. So excited to get this guy. He's kind of big time just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. He definitely has not. A former third round pick, number 68th overall by the Philadelphia Flyers. Our good friend, Mr. Brian Nicholas Cousins. Nick Cousins. Cousy, what's up, bro?
How'd you guys find you knew that from Philly, eh?
Wikipedia.
Yeah, Wikipedia tells you too, but I said I gotta do it. I gotta do it. Man, how you doing, bud?
No, I'm doing good. Been really busy here. It's been a short off season, so I've had 4 weddings this summer, so I've been super busy there, kind of traveling around. Getting to see some old friends and stuff, and been training and getting on the ice. It's getting close to September here, so just right in the thick of things right now. Just trying to get rid of this season here.
Yeah, I tell you that this is the wedding season. A couple people I know. I said, "Well, why should you be happy? Go ahead, do it." You gotta do it. Hey, cheers. You're going down, man. It's all downhill from now. I'm kidding, man. That's awesome. That's
breaking
a,
into prison.
That's a short summer for you, man. But what an exciting year, man. You're down in Florida. We'll talk about that. But going to the finals, man, no one gave you guys a lot of people didn't give you a chance to slip into the playoffs there. You know, you guys snuck in there by 1 point, but just such a Riley and I talked about it every week, just such a fun team to watch and dangerous team and really reminded us of the 2010 Flyers team that we snuck into the playoffs the last day of the season that year and end up in the finals and couldn't pull it off either. But man, it was fun to watch you guys. It had to be exciting.
Yeah, that was such a crazy run. I think just looking back at the season in general, I thought I never really got off to the best start. Like I thought around Christmas time, I think we were kind of on the bubble of the playoffs. We never really got hot there where we went on like a run or a streak or anything. And I think we just ended up getting hot with like maybe the last 15 games. I think we also had a 7-game homestand there. I think it was in the middle of March, maybe even February, where we had in a row at home. We ended up going 6-0-1 on that homestand. And then looking back at the season, I think if you remember when, there was that viral video that when our coach there lit a fire on us in Toronto, and then on the bench there. And then after that, we ended up coming back and winning in overtime in that game, up going 6-0-1 on that homestand. And then we ended up getting some help on the way there. I think Pittsburgh lost to Chicago at home, which kind of helped us propel us into the playoffs. And then going into the Boston series, we were down 3-1 going into Boston for game 5. We went in overtime there. And then, I guess the rest is history. Then we kind of just carried the momentum in conference series. And then, going to Toronto and then take 2 on the road in Toronto in the second round. And then kind of carry that momentum, winning 5 there. And then obviously sweep Carolina. And then, Vegas kind of took it to us there. We ran into some injury trouble, and they were kind of, on our heels for most of that. To them, they played really well.
Yeah, they had a really, really good team. As you guys did as well. But like you said, you ran into some injury troubles, which happens when you play that long. And playoffs, a lot of people don't understand just how hard it is. On your players, on your body, and the sacrifice it takes. But nonetheless, it was so much fun to watch your team play, man.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, Cuzzy, was there like a shift in maybe a bit of philosophy, or was it just like momentum you guys were just riding? Because it seemed like you guys really had that chip on your shoulder. You guys were, say, a physical team in the playoffs, hard to play against them, not that you weren't before, but was there something that kind of clicked, or was it just one of those, like, you start winning games and you just like rallying around each other and you guys believe that you're gonna win it and just kind of go from there?
We found out like what made us successful there. We didn't really find any consistency in the regular season and in that style of play until the last whatever it was, like many games it was. And then we went through a lot of video sessions and stuff like that as a team, as we need to be a little bit harder to play against, a little bit harder on pucks, a little bit better defensively. Our team likes to make a lot of plays too. We just got to find that balance of maybe not making too many risky plays where it goes back the other way, rather than just making the smart play or chipping it in and getting it deep and live to fight another day again. I thought in the playoffs we kind of just found our game at the right time, and then we got some help along the way. Our goaltender played unbelievable. Bobrovsky probably played the best hockey of his career in the playoffs there. And then
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was gonna say, even Alex Lyon jumping in there and holding the fort down, right? Like he was amazing. I was so happy for him. Him here in Philly.
Good dude. My bad for not including him there, because he carried us through most of that Boston series. And then Bob took over there. I forgot when Bob took over. It might have been game 6 or 7. I don't know. I don't remember. But, he went in there and then kind of, kept us in a lot of games and got timely saves, timely goals. Kachuk, I can't remember how many big plays he made throughout the playoffs. Verhaeghe, too, some big overtime goals. But just like, you guys know, just like when you get that, like, team morale off, like, big overtime wins, it just carries – so much juice throughout the locker room. It's so much fun. It's all about the team in the playoffs, practicing it anymore. You're just recovering, playing games, and, everybody's watching. It's such a fun time of year. And probably the most fun I've had playing hockey in my career. And it's one of those, like, It almost felt like it was too good to be true there at one point. It felt like everything was going to align and for us maybe to raise that thing at the end. But, I mean, they just took it to us pretty good. And credit to them, they're a really good team. They deserve it.
Yeah. I was just thinking as you were talking there about, you know, you were playing on the line. You played with a lot of guys, but you really fit in real well with Bennett and Tkachuk there. You guys had something going. And Baller even brought up you were playing with Barkov too. I mean, I know they probably rolling like doing different things, but you finally may have found a guy that talks more shit than you with Tkachuk. So could you imagine these two going against shit?
I can't imagine.
You got Cuzzy over here, Tkachuk over here,
just nonstop.
That had to be great, man. That's one of the things I always loved about you. You know, when I was getting to know you when you were a kid and I started seeing you play, and I used to laugh, Ryles, because there'd be like a little scrum and then everything's over, changing lines.
Oh, yeah.
You see Cuzzy talking out of the side of his mouth. You see some guy, he whipped their head around.
And then all the bees swarm.
What could he have said? Next thing you know, that guy's in the box and we're on a power play. But it's one of my favorite things about you. But I couldn't imagine you and Tkachuk out there at the same time.
You know what, though? I mean, obviously a lot of the verbal stuff, too, that goes along with it, especially in the playoffs, right? And,
yeah.
I mean, there's so much, game within the game and all the verbal trash talk and the stuff after the whistle and stuff like that. But, I mean, yeah, he's one of those guys that you just love having on your team. But I hated playing against this guy. You guys know, he has that reputation. I'm the same way too. And then you throw Bennett in there, who just doesn't say much on the ice. That's usually me and Chucky. We're doing the talking. he plays so hard. And then when the whistles blows, he just skates to the bench, and me and Chucky will hang around the net and kind of do our thing. But he deserves a lot of credit because he compliments me and him really well. He brings the speed factor in the middle of the ice. I mean, does so many good things that you need to win, and probably one of the most underrated players that I've played with. I mean, I never really gave him enough credit until I actually got to know him and play with him and see him on a regular basis. So, those two are obviously tremendous. I mean, really lucky to be able to play on a line with those two. Chucky's probably the most skilled player. Just the vision and the passing ability and making plays out of nothing, probably the most skilled player I've ever played with, I guess. I mean, he's up there. Probably not. I mean, just I play with some really good players, but he's up there in the top echelon. He's elite.
And he's a different breed.
He is. Yeah, he's a rare breed.
He's got everything. He's got to drop him. He drops him.
Oh yeah, he plays hard.
It's hard. Yeah. I can imagine. I mean, I didn't play hockey, but watched tons of games and been around the game a long time. Man, he's just a hard guy to play against. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see getting very frustrated playing with him. And then he buries the OT.
Exactly. Clutch goals.
He's got you riled up, then he scores. And
yeah.
He's laughing, right? You know?
Yeah. That's what probably drives guys, nuts the most is that, he's the last guy in the scrum. He's always in your face. First guy in the scrum, first guy to start something. But, for me personally, it dragged me into the game more. Because he's always in there. He's always in the middle of everything. And then we go on the power play or something, and he's the first guy to get a stick on a puck, and then, or a big goal or a big hit. And it's just it was crazy to watch because he was playing on a different level. And it's just go out there and play. And he's such a unique player. And I mean, I never really got to see him a lot in Calgary. And he's still a young player, but I mean, I have so much respect for just how he is on the ice and what he can do. But then also off the ice, he's a great person. He's a great teammate. You guys would love him. Nasty, you would absolutely love this guy.
Yeah.
He treats the trainers with as much respect as he treats our captain. The trainers love him. The massage, Nasty. The guys absolutely love this guy. And as a teammate too, I've been probably talking to him every week here since I've been gone. I mean, and And then, you know, you play 10 months, you don't want to see anybody. But I'm actually, you know what I mean? After you see that you see your teammates for 10 straight months, it's nice to get away. But, yeah, just we're really, really lucky to get to know this guy because I got a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny you brought up how well he treats everyone. His dad was the exact same way. It's funny, I was, when I just got into hockey, their dad, Big Walt, was very young in the game. He was already the captain, though, in Winnipeg.
Yeah, right.
And this guy was unbelievable. He treated everyone with so much respect. And I became buddies with him, and we played Winnipeg twice a year.
Yeah.
This guy was bring me, you see him downstairs. I got like eight of his sticks. He would bring me sticks every time. Like, I don't know if you want them. I'm no good. But I'm like, yeah, you're pretty good, dude.
Yeah, bad.
But just a great guy. And he obviously taught the boys the right way. And probably growing up in the locker room didn't hurt either.
Yeah, know, no kidding, know, right? Being around stuff. The guys.
But yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, man. That guy's, he's a special, special hockey player, man.
I got to ask you, Cuzzy, you know, you've played on a few teams and, you know, with the way you play, the edge, the shit talking, you know, what's it like going into locker rooms against guys that you've had battles with, you know, like just, you know, like what's that initial icebreaker like?
Hey, man, I'm actually a pretty
cool dude. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, I, like, usually it's a little awkward at the start, obviously. But it always gets brought up, and I mean, like, and then, like, usually probably, like, halfway through the year, they're like, they always say, man, like, I can't believe you're like this off the ice. Like, you're like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. They're just like, you're like a different person on the ice. I'm like, yeah, it's just like, I get so competitive, and like, I mean, it's kind of kept me around too, where, I'm coming up on like 600 games here now, and it's just, I mean, something I've kind of just done throughout my career. And I mean, but yeah, like once the initial, sorry, I get to know the guys and they get to know me on a personal level, it's just, I mean, everything's kind of pushed aside. And, but no, for sure, there's some awkward in early on, but it's maybe me trying to make some friends there early on. But once we move past that, we start playing some games and getting on the road and going for dinners and stuff, it all evens out, and you pretty popular, or not, just like pretty well liked guy in the locker that I'm in. So
yeah,
for sure. I was saying to Riggs earlier, to Riley earlier, I was like, man, Cuzzy, I can't even imagine when he was burying 103 points in junior, the shit that was coming out of your mouth. Like, probably walking in with sunglasses on, getting out of that Mercedes you had when you were in junior. Hey, I know about all of it, brother. Like, I know about all of it.
He's big time in the juniors.
Big time, as Chief would say.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. I mean, I was probably worse in junior, to be honest.
I'm sure. Yeah.
It's hilarious. Like, I played against Ekblad. Obviously, Aaron Ekblad plays with him now. And he was telling me some junior stories. And I'm like, I don't even remember saying that kind of stuff. Like, because he used to play, he was in Barry, and I was in the, I think he was the first overall pick. So I don't know if I played against him 1 year or 2 years or how many years it was, but he was telling me some stuff that I said, and I'm just like, man, I can't believe I said that.
Definitely crossed the line.
I love that shit.
Man. Oh, yeah, I know for sure.
To me, it's, you know, it's not as much as it used to be. I love that there's still guys that get in there.
Yeah.
I think it has an effect on some guys can't handle
it. Oh, some guys really can't handle it. I know that's the beauty of it.
It really does.
Yeah,
that's why I always find it funny when guys like yourself go to a new team. You know what I mean? Because you do cross that line, right? I mean, some guys play a hard game, but like, you know, like when you start crossing that line, people take it personally sometimes. So when you have those first initial conversations, you wonder like what's going on through the guy's head.
That reminds me, because I remember Chief was telling Riley and I one time about when he got traded to Washington. So Philly and Washington back in the day, like these guys just, when Terry Murray was coaching there, like these guys wanted to kill each other, and they used to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Dale Hunter is a captain in Wash, and Chief would try to take his head off like all the time, hated him. And Huntsy hated Chief. So he gets traded there, and they don't speak to each other from the deadline where he gets traded till the end of the season. The next year, Sluggo, the old equipment guy there, who he's doing three ice now.
Oh, yeah, right. Right.
Yeah, Sluggo's the man. Sluggo put them beside each other. They've been best friends ever since. So it's just kind of funny, like your situation where you're walking, maybe you've really gone after someone, and then you end up, you know, it's hockey's. It's the great thing about hockey is it's really hard to find a really bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Like, there's guys like you want to kill him, and then next thing you know, you're like, oh man, I was in a golf tournament. This guy's a fucking beauty. Like,
yeah,
I love him. Like,
yeah, no, that's it's funny to say it because like I've also like bounced around here, playing on a couple teams where like so like guys on certain teams that don't like me, but then maybe I played with them or whatever, and then they toss in maybe hopefully a good word, say that, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if they don't like me, at least they can ask around, and then hopefully I'm all liked enough where somebody will put in a good word in there here and there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, then at the day, it really don't matter when you're playing against guys, right? It's like that's kind of like your advantage, right? You almost would rather be disliked because it helps your game out a little bit. Obviously, you want your teammates like you.
I wanted to bring up. We wanted to ask you. You were just talking about that Toronto series, real quick. Biggest goal you ever scored?
Yeah. I mean, I'm from Belleville here, which is 2 hours from Toronto, so it's like. It was my favorite team growing up, and then just had so much friends and family not at the game, but they were watching on TV. Like everybody in Ontario is watching, right? Because it's the Toronto Maple Leafs and. Like so many texts after the game, which was just so cool. And then, just to be able to contribute in that big moment, right, was probably the most cool thing. I was on the fourth line all year and then kind of got elevated in the playoffs and, just special to be able to make a difference at that magnitude of the playoffs.
You had me. I shouldn't tell you I pump your tires up, but you had me jump right off the couch here. Obviously, I was pulling for big. You guys. You got a lot of guys I know on that team too, and I really good friends with your equipment staff there. The Thomas the Train. Does he ever get there and do his crab dance for you guys? what a beauty! Oh, hey. Is he a beauty or what, man? Oh, this guy is unbelievable.
That guy is unbelievable. He's the man. He makes going to the ranking on game 75 a fun. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He's just like, he's a beauty. He's awesome. And Teddy's the best too. And
Dakota. You got a good crew. And you got Chunks. You got Chunks there too, Oscar.
That's my boy. The best, man. I got his number. He's been sending me the odd text. I'm like, buddy, I'm gonna have to see you here every day. Leave me alone. he's awesome. I actually got to know him really well this year. I feel like when you go to a team, there's so many people that are just fly under the radar that don't get recognized that are such good people that you become like super close with, right? And it's just and then you meet so many good people along the way. So those are some guys that they'll be lifelong friends for sure. And people I keep in touch with for sure.
Yeah, good dudes, man. And we got to bring up Goody getting in front of that net too on your shot.
Oh yeah, that's classic.
I think the beard was fucking screening the goalie as well.
Distraction for the attendee.
Yeah, Goody's one of my favorite guys. You know, along with you as well. You know that we've stayed in touch, but man, I love that Goody. Ooh, it's nice to have him on your team, eh, Cuzzy? So you're coming across the blue line with your head on a swivel because he's going to take it off if he can.
Well, like I think he's one of the most underrated D in the league. Like I know he'll take your head off, but he can also make some sneaky good plays. Like he's got some good poise to him on breakouts and like little plays like that he doesn't have like a rep. I mean, even when I was playing with him in Philly, I was like, this guy is. He's legit. And then I thought last year he was one of our most consistent D men, just moving the puck, like doing his thing. And then he keeps guys honest out there, and you just play a little bit bigger when he's on the ice. And we're so lucky to have him. But he just signed in Anaheim. I'm really not looking forward to playing Anaheim.
I know, right?
With that guy on the other side, cut through the middle. With your head down, he'll catch you.
He'll get you.
99,
no matter what.
Because he was gonna. Yeah, no doubt he is. I was going to say, you know, like you've come a long way from your days in Adirondack with the Phantoms. And then, you know, a couple of years there, I had, you know, an opportunity to coach you. And then 2 years, I believe, in
power lines or something there. Something's going on in that place, boy.
Or again, Glens Falls. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the water. It's the water. It's the water. Yeah. The chemicals in it. Growing the forest eye.
Something. I don't know what it is.
Oh, anyway, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, I was just going to say, you know, like obviously those first couple of years in Adirondack were a grind. And then, you know, moving on to Lehigh. Was there ever a point, maybe not even within those years, but, you know, maybe even after, did you find like this is you know, this dream is becoming doom and gloom? Or was there always like you knew you're going to find your way out of the jungle and work your way up?
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, my first year pro, I had some times there. I mean, obviously you're the coach there, but I think just getting accustomed to being on your own, first of all, coming from junior, where you have billets and stuff, and then just the pro lifestyle, pro game, so many growing pains that I had my first year. But I thought that as the year went on, my first year there, I got a little bit better towards the end of the year and kind of found my way. Yeah, I mean, at first there, you never really know how it's going to turn out. I remember having lots of meetings with Terry Murray there in his office in that beautiful city of Glens Falls. But you never really know how it's going to turn out. And then I thought that summer after my first year was kind of like, I thought it was probably my make or break. I kind of just put my work boots on. I don't think we didn't make the playoffs there, so we had lots of time in the summer to kind of, you know, work on my skating, you know, lots of other things that I had to fine tune. And then that year we moved to Lehigh Valley with the new rink and stuff. And it kind of like almost like rejuvenated me a little and gave me a little bit more energy where, you know, playing in a city and in an atmosphere where, you know, it was fun coming to the rink. And the facility there is probably the best in the American League, in my opinion. And just found my game. I thought, you know, I played with a lot more confidence, a lot more pace. A little bit more ice time as well. And then just kind of carried that momentum throughout that season. And then I think I found my way up to the Flyers there. I can't remember how many games were left, but I ended up finishing the year there. And then after that, I kind of had a lot of confidence knowing that I could play at that level and kind of just ran with it. And then, I don't know, just trying to find a seat at the table where you can make yourself useful and impactful. I've kind of done that so far in my career, and just trying to make yourself relevant each and every night, or whether what team you're on and what role you have. It's kind of what I've been doing here so far. So
well, it's worked out well. I was gonna say, building off that, like, when did you accept that you're probably gonna have to be a little bit more of that role player, you know, moving up?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, because I mean, I come from junior. I mean, a lot of guys are skilled guys, but yeah, I mean, I thought I was probably going to be like a top six player, but I think I realized, I don't know when it was, I think I just realized that when you get to the NHL, the top six is like legit, so then I just was like, okay, well, if I want to be a bottom six guy, can kind of play third, fourth line. You can't make those high risk plays that I guess the top six guys can make, and you gotta be reliable defensively. It worked a lot on my defensive side of the game and not cheap for offense. Like, I guess you could get away with in the American League and junior. And because if you look around the league, the bottom six and the NHL is they're penalty killers, they're smart, they're reliable players. I mean, guys that you can trust. So, I mean, I just kind of stuck with that role, and I mean, yeah. So, well, I mean, it's better than being in the American League. Playing in the NHL all day.
Yeah, I mean, right. You know, it's a lot similar with Riles. He realized when he came up to the NHL, you probably weren't going to be in the top six, Riggs. You know, like. I'm kidding. This guy was in the lowest level there ever was and made it today. The story's amazing, but Because, yeah, I remember you, you got to think it was the last 12 games of the year, if I'm not mistaken. You got called up. And, we did make the playoffs. And, you know, you were fortunate enough to get to your first year-end party in the NHL. And I, you know, listen, I'm not going to, hey, relax. I'm not going to.
Was that in Atlantic City?
Yeah. So.
Oh, I still have.
I've never seen a guy wheeled out of the club in a wheelchair. For one,
I have.
I'm not saying who it was.
No, I that's all good. I still have the video on my phone. I'm pretty sure it was Braden Shen wheeling me out of the chair. But if you actually like. I remember you driving me home that day. I had an exit meeting in 30 minutes, and I wheeled in there, and they were looking at me, and I was looking a little green.
Well, what I was going to say, the funny thing is someone got wheeled out because, you know, no one was going to care.
It happens.
It's not the first time. A little
overserved.
It was legit. But what really – I remember laughing my ass off, and Huggy and I, you know, we stayed up basically all night, but we have to be back because the guys have meetings, like they're year-end meetings, which is always crazy to me. Like, give them a day.
Yeah,
give
them a day, right?
Recoup. Anyway, I get down, I get the valet guy my thing to get my car, and my phone's ringing. I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's 6:30. Like, fuck, Cuzzy. I'm like, hey, buddy, you all right? What's up? He's like, hey, can I ride back with you guys? And I said, yeah, are you up? Like, are you up and ready? And he's like, yeah, I'm down in the lobby. I turn around. Here's Cuzzy. You ever heard someone saying they lost their shirt at the gambling table? He didn't have a shirt on.
Come on. In the lobby.
And I'm like, what? He's 20 feet away from me calling me. I don't think we could see each other. Our eyes were still trying with us, both of us, because we've been up.
A little funny.
And I reach in my bag. I got to give him a shirt. Put a t-shirt on
that is so,
and we get in the car, and Elvis is a baby and he's got some sunglasses. I look back because he's got his sunglasses shutting her down for a little nap, because we got him to the rink and he had 30 minutes to shower and get himself together. But
oh man,
it's just one of my favorite stories.
That was a great night. I remember that, and obviously, like, I was just so happy to be around the fellas, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean, like, first NHL year-end party. It just sucks that we didn't make the playoffs, obviously, that it was in April, but yeah. No, a great night. I remember that day, like, actually pretty good. I remember hopping in the car. There was somebody else in the back of the, I don't know if it was Wheelsy, maybe. I want to say Wheelsy.
Oh yeah, the wheel deal.
Yeah. I think he was looking at me like, he's like, holy, this guy is he's going to a year-end meeting right now. But I think I slept the room that night and I ended up losing my shirt, so I don't know. Whatever.
It happens.
Hey man, that's not
the question is good. how did your year-end meeting go?
It went great, actually, because I don't know, they were like, yeah, like, thanks for all your hard work this year. I mean, you played a lot there. Like, we didn't play much, but your first taste. Work hard this summer. We'll check in with you in July. And I was like, thank God. That was
perfect.
Quick.
Yeah, right. Quick.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So good.
So you fast forward from Philly, end up, you know, playing up and did really well. Like, we're playing great with us, but you end up getting traded to Arizona. Guess after 2 years. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, why did Hexy trade you? Was it because of that? I'm kidding. It was 2 years later. But no, in all seriousness, did you enjoy Rick Tocchet as a head coach? How did you like Tocchet? He's my
boy. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was talk though. I think that was the year there's the expansion draft or something. And I just, there's this fancy draft going on. So I guess they wanted to move me. So they didn't want to lose me or something. I think that's what they told my agent or something. So,
yeah.
So I went there and then they just hired Rick Tocchet. And then, you know, he's probably one of my favorite coaches. I actually still talk to him. He's awesome. Someone I actually still talk to on a somewhat regular basis. Really like he's it makes it easy because he's played, right? So it's just he's so like really easy to get along with. He had the open door policy in his office, talk to him on a regular basis and just made me feel comfortable and really like getting to know him as a coach and as a person. So
yeah, he's a great guy, really good dude.
Yeah, what was AZ like there? I mean, obviously it's kind of a tough situation. What was your experience like?
Yeah, it was a lot different. I mean, the first year I was there, we started the year, what was it, 0-8-1. So it was a tough start. that wasn't fun. So then after that, we kind of figured it out a little bit as the year went on. And it's just not fun when you it's December, right? It's just we had such a tough start, couldn't battle back and had some tough injuries and stuff, and new coach, you know, Talk was still trying to figure it out and find his way. And it was fun though. It's obviously a great place to live. Really enjoyed, you know, coming to the rink every day with, you know, it's sunny every day there. So many good stuff. It's easy living down there. It really is. And then the second year there, we were a little bit better. We ended up missing the playoffs. I think it was by 3 points. And then, we were in the thick of it though, the whole way. So that was a lot better in that aspect. But, I enjoyed my time there. A lot of good people. I mean, you know, Stan, right? Stan Wilson.
Yeah. Oh my God. Or what
Denver.
A great, you know, Stan,
I mean, like
Denver. Yeah.
Yeah. Like such good people again, like good training. Yeah. They make coming to the rink a lot of fun. Rudy too.
Yeah. Rudy's the man. Yeah.
Yeah. So those guys are awesome. Still like seeing them when we go there to play. You know, catch up with them and stuff. So great place to play.
Just we were Riley and I were just out in Arizona, so we got to see Stan, and actually Denver made an appearance. He came to see me. He is a beauty. Like he's a beauty. I'll never forget. I was in Moscow with Team USA for World Championship, and Stan's doing Team Canada. And Denver, he took Denver with him, but he's like, all right, you're going to go and work, right? Like Denver's like 14, 15, maybe that old. This guy was in my room the whole time. Like he was down the USA room and like Stan come down and be like, Denver, get down here with me, man. Like, I need your help. Like, I need you down here. You're not with USA. You're down here. Like, I'm laughing, right? Like, he'd be like, all right, Nas, I'll see you a little bit. We got to talk about what we're doing tonight, our plans. He's like 15, like he's going to go out, right? He's all wound up. He's hearing the boys.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you're getting them all going, too.
You know, like, boys, you know, doing their thing. And literally 20 minutes later, he'd be back.
Back, yeah.
Like, fold those socks for me, Denver. He's sitting there folding socks. Here comes Stan. Denver, let's fucking go. But anyway, yeah, great people, man. Really good people.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
And then you signed in Montreal. You speak French?
No, I don't.
Because
not a lick.
How do they deal with that? Because you hear, like, some people say, oh, they hate that. If you don't, Riggs speaks it. Riggs
barely
understands it.
I can understand it, yeah. I wouldn't be a good representation of a French Canadian, that's for sure. Not in Montreal.
Yeah, no, it's close to home for me too. That was a really cool experience. I mean, obviously completely different cities than Arizona, right? Like,
right.
You go from like really easy living, nice weather every day in Arizona, to basically city living where, I mean, it's cold, you know, you see snow in October,
yeah.
All the way through till whatever, February, March or whatever it is. And it gets dark real early. So, but yeah, another really cool city just to see the passionate fans that they have. And
they weren't passionate in Arizona.
A little different than Arizona, I guess. It was nice to play in front of a full barn, right?
Like, yeah, of course.
Montreal's a great
place. Yeah, it's a great place to play.
That was one thing that I missed about when I was playing in Arizona. Like, yeah, like, you're also playing on the West Coast where games aren't starting until 10:30 or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, so it was nice to just to be in like a, I mean, I don't know how to say this, but just playing like a nice, like a hockey market again, where
right.
Like fans are, they care about hockey. Like they, like it's, you turn on the TV, it's all Montreal. Like, it's all about the Canadians. Mm-hmm. And there's no football team there or anything, or our basketball team or anything like that. So it's all about the Habs and, you know, Saturday night at the Bell Center.
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit better than Saturday night at the Gila River Arena or whatever.
You're right.
I was going to ask you, Cuzzy, like, did you feel a bit, just because of, I mean, Montreal, everyone kind of speaks about the pressure. I mean, we know, like, going there as a visiting team, like, I mean, obviously I wasn't playing, but like, you could move in the locker room after, like,
the media, yeah.
Like, I'm sure on the home side, it's even, you know, worse. But, like, did you feel more pressure playing there?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I did, but I honestly liked it just because coming from Arizona, right? Like, I missed that, like, where you almost, like, miss that added pressure on a Saturday night at the Bell Center, or Saturday night hockey night in Canada against the Leafs or something like that. That was something I missed, just the passion and the fire to want to win and want to be successful. And then, if you had a tough game, you're dealing with the media, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel, it felt like that was just part of it, and something that I was missing the last 2 years. So it was nice. It was a nice change. It got that fire back in me and, that added pressure where, I mean, you want to be at your best every night.
Right.
Yeah, a little different animal.
Yeah, it's way different. And then you got traded to Vegas, and I asked him if I could carry his bags if he needed me for anything. He said, you better not come near me if we're in Vegas, because he might get booted out of the
league
if Nasty shows up. I'm kidding, but you end up going 17 games in a playoff. So, like, you guys had a nice little run there.
Yeah, that was I mean, I got there, everything started off well, I was playing lots, and then I think I played 7 games there, and then that's when the whole COVID situation
happened. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like I went there and everything was great, like just playing at T-Mobile, you know what I mean? Like, such a fun rink to play in.
Yeah.
Especially at home, like, such a different buzz just being in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the whole COVID situation happened. So I hung around Vegas for probably like, I think it was like a month. I mean, they were kind of, nobody was really knew what was going to happen with the whole COVID thing. So I stuck around Vegas, trying to see what was going to happen. Couldn't really do anything. They couldn't leave the house. So I was working out a little bit at home, trying to just to figure out what was going to happen. And then ended up coming back home to Ontario and then just waited to see what was going to happen. And then and then after that, I just went to, we ended up going back to Vegas and then to the Edmonton bubble.
That's right.
For that play-in tournament or whatever it was, the playoffs in the summer there. And then that's where I played those 17 games there in Edmonton with no fans. So,
yeah.
I mean, didn't really get to experience the whole Vegas, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
as the actual Vegas Golden Knight, it was seven games where it was a lot of fun and playing some really good hockey on a good team. And then the playoffs, like, we couldn't play at home. We like a Vegas Golden Knight game at home at T-Mobile is different than playing in the Edmonton bubble with zero.
Yeah. So, it's a little different.
Yeah. It's
disappointing. I wish I could have experienced it better, had a better experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you, this may be a dumb question, did you enjoy your time in Nashville as far as hockey? I don't mean off the ice, but.
Nashville's probably one of my favorite spots for sure. Like, didn't know much too about the city too going into it. Like
You'd been to Tootsie's. You'd been to Tootsie's.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. But there's also suburbs and stuff away from like the strip, I guess you want to say.
Yeah.
And it's really easy living there. There's so many nice areas around Nashville and the weather and obviously the passionate fans that they have. I didn't really know too much about, but. And then playing at Bridgestone was unbelievable. One of my favorite places for sure. It's something that, when I retire, I'll be at least considering to go back there and live there for sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoy it there. It's unbelievable.
I remember him blowing us off. We were there.
Yeah, I remember.
With the flight, you know,
fans of
Philly. And I was trying to get, I had a Nasty Knuckles hat made up. I wear it all the time. It's got your number on it. It's okay though. Don't worry. You didn't hurt my feelings too bad. No, it was you guys. It was no way you could. I know.
I remember that. You guys were there for that.
Yeah, we were there for a few days actually.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a great buzz, man. Like you said, like the fans and like the energy in that city. I was surprised, honestly. I didn't know what to expect down there like that. It was cool.
Yeah, they start early there. Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Oh
man.
Yeah.
You're not kidding.
We had a lot of afternoon games too, Saturday at 1, which I really enjoyed. We actually had a lot of those in Philly too, which I really enjoyed. But like a Saturday night in Nashville with the Preds playing, it gets pretty rowdy. But there's also so many good food spots to eat. And then just where we live, it's easy living as well. Everything's close. Everything's 15 minutes. I really enjoyed it.
That's funny. When we were there, Cuzzy, for that game, we were sitting beside this young, I guess, couple, boyfriend, girlfriend. And this dude, I'm like, I asked him a question. I was asking about that, the mask. They sell those foam.
Oh, the foam closet.
But it was like a claw or something. So I'm asking this guy, he's decked out. Everything he's got on and his girl in Nashville. And I'm like, hey, like, what's that? And he goes, I don't know, man. It's my first game.
but all the gear.
Yeah, he had all new. They bought all this gear. But then he goes, hey, are you Riley Cote? And we're like, and Riley's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, what do you say? I fought with you on. He knew him because of a gate from the video games.
It's like the most random guy, unassuming guy in Nashville, all rocked out.
Doesn't have anything with his name on it or anything, but he's like, I feel like I've seen you before, man.
I was like, wow, it's like pretty impressive.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. They know their hockey there too. It's a great place to play. It really is.
Yeah.
It's up there. It's probably the no state tax helps. Like if you're, you know what I mean? Like if you're really a penny pincher and you're looking for that kind of stuff, but. It lures guys in. I mean, and it's a great place to live, guys. It's really taken off the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it. I could definitely see how guys enjoy playing down there. Yeah. I'm going to ask you before we get to let you go, just you obviously had an opportunity to play with a lot of different guys. You touched on a couple of your line mates earlier, but a couple of your favorite and maybe funniest teammates.
Oh, I got to go. I mean, Jake Voracek's got to be up there. No, yeah.
Yes.
Like he, I don't even, I haven't talked to him obviously in a couple of years, but just, I lived in his place there in Philly and is it Old City? Is that sound right?
Old City.
Yeah.
I can't, I can't think of Philly, but yeah, Old City. But yeah, I mean, just, but like super nice guy too, but like awesome. Like made me laugh all the time. But one of the guys that just made me feel more like comfortable, just being a young guy and stuff, like let me live in his place. You know, just if you ever need anything, he was there for you. But and then he's always the first guy to invite you anywhere if you wanted to have a beer or whatever. He's just one of the best human beings ever. Like yeah, he's got to be up there for sure.
Yeah, he's
miss that guy.
Yeah, what a character.
He's unbelievable, man. And I was thinking, It was great, you know, when Michael Raffel mixed in there. Like, that dude is one of my all-time favorite. Like, guy's so funny, so dry. Some of the shit he would say, you know, just he always made me laugh, too.
I Lotz is up there, too. Lotz is great. I saw him at a wedding, actually, a couple weeks back. He was – me and him had a good time. He's another – he was another guy that was hilarious.
Yeah.
So We had some good nights in the hotel there when we were Black Aces.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's got a good dry sense of humor too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a beauty. Yeah. No doubt.
I was going to ask you real quick, sorry to go backwards there, but I was, we were talking about that, the four overtime game against Carolina. You brought up the sweep, man, that those games all could have gone either way. You know, that could have been a 7-game series. It could have been a four, it could have been a sweep the other way if the puck bounces. But, but what I was going to ask you is, you basically played two games and some, what were you doing in between the periods? Like just hydrate. Was it becoming a mental battle a little bit or was it more just
physical? It was. I mean and then when you get to like the overtimes, the pins are so quick. Like usually they're 18 minutes, but then when they get to the overtime, it's like I think it's like 14 minutes. So by the time you take your gear off, I mean the coach is coming in, but like you know how like sometimes you get pizza after a game or whatever?
Yeah.
Cause like so the pizza was cold, but I was just like I have started. So I was eating the cold pizza. And then I was having, what was I having? I think I was having Gatorade bowl in there mixed in. And then like just anything I could get my hands on just to kind of find that little ounce of energy. But I wasn't, I mean, I was just like skating around. I couldn't even hit anymore. Like I'll have to send you a picture of the bruise I had, from that game. I'll send it to you and you can do whatever you want with it.
Okay.
But, I think it was Brett Pesci ended up hitting me in like the third overtime. Like what? Well, I was like, "What are you doing? I can't believe you're hitting me."
He's trying to win a game here.
Let's find one here. Let's get this thing over. And he's just still running around. I'm just like, "You're crazy."
I think we were talking about that as well. Like before you came on, like man, that winning that game or losing that game.
Oh
like,
yeah!
What a feeling to win that game, and even going into game two. Like, if you lose that first game, man, like I know you still have plenty of time left, but God, what a deflating loss!
Oh yeah,
I'd rather just lose 30 seconds into overtime.
Oh yeah, yeah. Then going the distance, know what I mean?
But you guys
couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah, those
are the games though that you want to be on the right side, so you remember them. You know what I mean? Like you're right. Like I would have like if we lost that game, I would have just lost it 7-0 and coasted through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's just like you put your ball. Like I remember waking up then. I think I went to bed at like 4:30 that night because like you get home, you get back to the hotel, cover, you ride the bike or whatever you got to do, and then you get back to the hotel, and then the meal. I mean, the meal's probably been there for whatever a couple hours. Well, you just somehow find a way to eat it, and then you get into the bed, and you know how after games it's really hard to sleep and all that caffeine and stuff. But I mean, you lay in bed for probably another 45 minutes, and I remember getting in the hotel and then like finally you know what, it might have been 5 a.m that night just because you gotta do what you gotta do after the game. And but those are the games that you'll remember. It's just so fortunate to be on the right side of them because they yeah, I mean, you remember them a little bit sweeter when your career's all said and done.
Yeah, they're probably hard to bounce back from if you're on the other side of it. You talk about an emotional toll it takes on you. Like, well, it's both ways, but it's definitely on the losing side of that. That's got to take the wind out of your sails big time. Yeah,
especially at home too, right? Yeah. Home for them. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. The fan, I don't even know if I remember looking around. A couple of fans were leaving, but other than that, it was still pretty busy. Like, it was 1:30 in the morning or whatever it was. I can't remember it was.
I couldn't go to sleep. I watched the whole game.
The games start later in the playoffs too, right? At 8:10 or 8:15 or whatever. So
that was crazy. Yeah. But like I said, Cuzzy, it's you're a great guy, man. We appreciate your time. Hell of a career. You got lots of time left here to play some more years and talk some more smack, score some more goals, hopefully raise that silver cup at some point.
Yeah. Stay greasy.
All right, that's it. Hey, you're not the only coach that says that to me, too. That's right. Hey, a little grease to your game.
Yeah.
Got to. Got to.
Hey, man.
All right, boys.
Best of luck, brother. We appreciate you, man. Best of luck, Cuzzy. Send me that picture, too.
Yes, I will. No problem. Thanks for having me, boys. That was fun. That was a blast.
All right. Big thanks to Cuz and the Cousins for hopping on.
Cuzzy.
What a beauty.
God, is he funny, man. Yeah. God, I love that guy.
Yeah. He was fun to coach. He was fun to listen to on the bench, man. He had some good chirps for sure.
Always out of the side of his mouth. Oh, yeah. Always talking. Oh, yeah. See guys turn to look at him. I used to laugh.
Just saying those random things. Yeah.
What did he say? He's a beauty.
Yeah, he certainly plays the chip on his shoulder. I love his game.
He does.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, obviously, like we talked about, like playing with Bennett and Kachuk there, their line was very, you know, very good in the playoffs. But, like, it just shows you, like, he does have skill.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's a skilled player. I know he doesn't score 20 goals a year, but he's a really good player. Real smart player, too.
Yeah. You know, no, he really is.
He's a smart hockey player. He gets the game.
Yeah.
I feel like he always did, even when he was – you know, first coming in, his first few games with the Flyers, he always seemed to make the right decisions with the puck anyway.
Yeah.
So, loved having him here, though. God, was he funny. We had that group, him and Raffle. And, like we talked about. Crew. God, man. Always laughing.
Yep. It's that time, Nast.
Is it that time?
Oh, yeah.
Clear question time?
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by our friends at Clear Rum. Nasty 2023 gets you 35% off your order.
Whew.
So please use that. I'm telling you, people. That's why we're missing a few here. They
looks a little depleted here, Nasty. You know, you're like sneaking some cans. You're liking the fruity ones, aren't you?
I do. They're good, man. God, they're so good. I like the water too. I like them all. I like them all. You know that.
We got to hit our friends up to
reload
you. Yeah,
we need some more, boys. Sorry. We keep kind of running through. We took some to the tailgate too back, which we shouldn't have because they had plenty there for everyone.
Bringing sand to the beach.
I know, right? But Claire Rom, check it out, and it's time for those questions.
It Baller. Is. Baller.
Let's go. We got Anthony Giampaolo leading us off. He said, how do the guys in the locker room feel when a guy is holding out for a contract in training camp?
Wow. Let you kind of answer that because you were a player. I mean, I know what I would hear, but you probably.
Well, I think it could be a little bit different in every situation, right? Depending on what the ask is and what they're actually holding out against. But I think guys, somebody understand, but then also at the same time, if they're really like flexing, depending on the guy too, right? There's some guys that like this can't fly, and there's certainly some guys they can fly with, I think, right, based on their character and how guys are respecting them. But I would think it's a little bit of understanding, because what, you know, obviously it's their livelihood,
right?
But also depending on the situation itself, it could be like one of those where guys are looking at each other and like, you know, what's this guy doing? Just like, just take the offer and let's move on, you know. But I mean, maybe you can comment on that because there's every situation so different, right? I mean, they're not quite all the same.
I mean, they're not quite all the same. I mean, I've never, I don't think in my 25, 26 years, I don't ever remember anyone being like, oh, that asshole. Like, you know, like you said, but I don't think there was ever, I don't think I was ever involved with a team or a player that I don't want to say wasn't liked, but where they thought the ask was like ridiculous. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Simone Gagné had a little bit of a holdout the 1 year, but it went. They got it done quickly, and no one was like, well, like this guy scores 35, like exactly. You know, and I think the deal was only like $5 million a year back then, and he was scoring a lot of goals, right? I think that's the one I could think of the most, but I don't remember, guys. Actually, you know, like you said, it is a business, and you got to look after yourself. But if there's guys that are like, you know, the ask is ridiculous, you're like, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
If there's no realism to it.
Costing yourself.
Hey, well, exactly.
You might not get anything.
That's exactly, so, yeah.
You know.
Got to be realistic with it.
Yeah, that's a great question, though, mm-hmm. because if you do have a guy like that, that's just the ask is ridiculous. Like, I think, you know, guys might be like, oh.
Scoff at it a little bit.
But I don't think they're going to bear him to the media or to.
Right.
Know. So, great question.
Yep, no doubt.
We got Flyers Flock over on Twitter. He asks, is having a veteran player that's probably on the verge of retirement, like Mark Stahl, for example, genuinely helpful for development, or is it just a bad cliche?
I mean, I truly believe these older guys can help with development. There's no question. I mean, you got a guy that's a seasoned pro. He knows the routine. He knows how to take care of himself.
And he's done it a long time.
He's heard it from several coaches. You know, there's so many little things, you know, to be taught and passed down to the young guys. To me, it's like having an older guy like that, I mean, is super important. Especially if you're in this rebuild, you know what I mean? Yes. Like, you really got to take care of these young guys. You're not just patching holes with guys that don't have experience that can just fill, you know, roster space. Right. To me, I mean, you look back, you know, when they signed Jager, you know, right. Like to me, that was, well, Hartnell's best year, one of G's better years. And I mean, a lot of guys around him, you've seen this guy that's like, you know, a living legend, well, first of all, in Jags. I mean, maybe not the same as Mark Stahl right now, but nonetheless, that veteran presence, he comes in, he's teaching these guys how to be pros, you know, and giving them confidence and in their ear talking all the time. To me, you know, having those types of guys around is super helpful for development.
I agree. I could agree more. And I know you got to be careful with your roster spots. You can't just be like, oh, we're going to bring this over.
Right.
A guy like Stahlsy who has played the game this long, right? So obviously he's kept himself in shape, like all of them do. All the brothers. God, Eric still played this year.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's huge, especially not to, like, we've had guests on, we've had guys that play now. The game's changed. It's great to have a guy like that. That's like, hey, no, like this is how you should be as a pro.
Right.
Like you said, I remember Pronger coming in, and I know he was playing, and he was more than just, oh, here's an old guy coming in.
Right.
But day one, I remember we started training camp and he came in and he was headed up to the gym because, as you know, and you may have heard him do this before too, he looked in the room and like any young kid that were there, he was like, hey, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And he took them up there every day. Yogs did the same thing. You had Matt Reed, you had Simmer, you had Jake, had Braden Shen. Every day he called it Yarmer Yager camp. You know, like hockey camp, because he was taking those kids up there before and after. And look at those guys' numbers, too, as young kids. Matt Reed, I know he was a little older because he went to college, but, like, he had 20-plus goals, if I'm not mistaken, his first year. I think it's huge to have a guy like him and Stahl can still play. He just went on a damn run here for the Stanley Cup as well.
Yeah.
I think it does nothing but help.
Yeah. Yeah, and then to what you're saying, like, the guy's got to be able to play.
Right.
Obviously, you're not just patching the hole with an older guy that's going to be the seventh or eighth defenseman. Like, he'll play. And he'll be good for the guys. I mean, I think it's a great move.
I think it's needed too, and I don't mean just the Flyers. I mean like just kids, these young kids.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Delorier, D'Lo was telling us about Zegras.
Hey,
you got to be early's on time. You get here 2 minutes till nine for nine. No, you need to be here 15 minutes before. Make sure you got my coffee. Respect and showing respect to the staff, the trainers, the coach, you know, everyone. I think something like that's huge.
Yep.
Huge.
Yep, no doubt.
One final one from Craig Baker over on Twitter.
Bakesy.
Are the Flyers a playoff team if Atkinson and Couturier stay healthy all season?
I would say they're going to give it an honest run. I think they're going to challenge that last wild card spot.
Do they want to?
Well, that's another question.
That, yeah, and I'm do not they saying, want to? Yeah, dude, right. You're not. I'm not getting into that again. Lose it on purpose. I don't mean it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, do they want to?
How good do you want to be? Like, obviously, it's not the Bedard. We're yeah, way ahead, yeah, right. But like, I don't know.
But I mean, you add a couple pieces like that. I know they maybe lost a little bit of offense. You know, but you replace some veteran leadership in there, some point production in there.
Yeah.
And face-offs. I don't think they were that – we've talked about this before. They weren't that far off. I mean –
they really weren't.
I mean –
especially if they did have those guys healthy.
But as far as a playoff team, I think they'll make a run. I don't think they'll squeeze in. That's my prediction.
I would love them to. Yeah. I just feel like we haven't been in the playoffs enough around here, obviously, yeah. in a long time, even when I was still with the team 3 years ago. I mean, that was the last time they were in the playoffs, obviously. But and actually, you know, I had a chance to go to the conference final there. But I would love for them to make
it. Yeah, I would love it, too.
But then on the other hand, like looking at what they're trying to do, the rebuild, like it's kind of like when Hex was here, like everyone – drove me nuts. We've talked about this before with Dave Haxtell. Like, this guy's a phenomenal coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the playoffs twice with
yeah
a team that probably shouldn't make playoffs, mm-hmm. right? Like, realistically, twice he did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that sets you back if you're making the playoffs when you're rebuilding like we're trying to do here. So it's interesting, but I don't think they're going to get into the playoffs this year. I just don't. I don't know if they have enough power, but God, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Torts is gonna. They're gonna be playing harder.
Well, they're gonna be competing, and you know, the games are gonna be tighter.
Yeah.
You know, which they were last year. You know, there was an improvement there. The way they were losing and everything.
There was. Yeah.
You know, maybe they're squeezing out a few extra wins, but I'm not sure they're quite there. But
I think you lost a lot on the back end.
Yeah. That would be
Provy. Like, you know, you like Provy, you don't like Provy. Yeah, you just got rid of a guy that eats a lot of minutes, takes every face off in the defensive.
Right.
You know, he's always on the ice there. People don't realize that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And D'Angelo with his points, you know, I know it kind of went south for him and Torts there. Didn't work out the way they wanted, but I don't know. I think you're going to.
See a little gap there.
Yeah. I think. But yeah. Maybe not. You know, maybe these younger kids step in and you know, they get more minutes and they – yeah, that's exactly what you hope for. So, we'll see. Great question.
Yeah. And that's a wrap, Nast.
That's it. I guess you're
questions in the books.
Go to probably Miami today or
– actually, I'm going to Burning Man in the desert.
Which desert?
2 hours outside of Reno. In Nevada. Concert. That one. Yeah, what's a concert festival?
What kind of festy?
All kinds of stuff going on.
Like what? what was the music? Doors type of
no,
stuff?
Not the Doors.
No, I meant like when they went out to the desert.
Oh yeah, well, it's like a kind of mini Woodstock, I guess you could say. A lot of art, a lot of different camps and different parties.
Trim the beard tea up before you go.
It's just trimmed up.
Actually, it might be a little
trimmed up. I actually trimmed up the salad too. You didn't notice.
Let me see. Well, it's hard when it's in a man bun.
Well, it wasn't earlier. You didn't notice.
I did, actually. It looked long as hell. I didn't think you trimmed it at all. Yeah. But anyway, we'll have fun, man. Yeah. Sounds awesome, actually.
See some frosty tips poking out.
Frosties?
Mm.
No, I'm not frosting it up.
No?
I think I'm going to buzz it down.
Are you?
I think so.
Why would you do such a thing?
Because I'm going to get Debo and Baller to do it with me. We're going to be like triumvirate. Fuck, shaved heads.
Let's do it.
Three musketeers. Come on, Baller.
I don't think
man.
Baller's on board.
Baller's got
to. He's growing the shag.
Baller's trying to clean it up, except for his. Got to get you a razor for your face, bro. Like, come on, man. You got girls, all those ladies I see hitting on you, they like that baby face when you shave it up. Baller, you too. You guys are too young to have beards. Look at this guy. This thing's like ZZ Top, for God's sakes.
This thing is manicured right now.
It actually is pretty good. I saw Tuna the other day. Shout out to Tuna. He helped me out with a couple of things. And he had he lost a lot of weight.
Did he? Yeah, I haven't seen him since last year.
Looks good. He looks like he did that year when we won the cup.
Oh, yeah. Tuna, yeah,
he really got
up.
In shape. He looks great, yeah.
Awesome.
Manicured his beard up a bit.
Oh, he did, yeah?
Yeah, but he buzzes it down up top there, right down to the
wall. Oh, yeah. He's got the barber. Like Sudsy. Yeah.
Sudsy always says, I got to gel it up before I go out.
Gel it up, yeah.
Is Kojak, bald head. You guys are too young to know who Kojak is. Anyway.
It's a wrap.
It's 125. In the books.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun out at Cochezzi.
Yeah.
I'll try.
What's it called? Burning Man.
Oh, yeah, Burning Man.
Send you a couple pics.
You bet. You'll forget.
Yeah, probably.
You'll gotta work your phone by then.
Until next time, next week.
See ya.
We'll be back. Episode 126. See ya, knuckleheads.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.